You're listening to How To 20-Something, the only podcast that helps both men and women navigate their 20s and learn how to adult across all aspects of their lives. We're going to be focusing on career, relationships, finances, fitness, nutrition, and all of the common challenges and obstacles a typical 20-something will face in this post-college life and what to do about it. I'm your host, Jess Diamond, and I am the CEO and founder of Jess Diamond Coaching, where I help young professionals get their shit together, gain their confidence, and own their life. No one prepares you for this adulting world, so allow me to help you feel like you are no longer a chicken running around with its head cut off, and that you actually know what the hell is going on and what your next step to take is. Welcome to How To 20-Something. Welcome back to How To 20-Something. Get ready for a heated episode filled with a ton of perspective shifts on the role alcohol plays in your life. I'm going to preface this with saying today's episode is not to convince you to quit drinking alcohol, but it is created to challenge your relationship with it and open your eyes to both the good and the bad things that come with drinking alcohol. And hopefully by the end of this episode, you feel more empowered to make a choice that is aligned with your values and goals and not because society has deemed it normal or because you feel peer pressured into going along with the crowd. I also want to add that if you're part of the 20-somethings who need liquid courage to feel more relaxed and confident or like your true self surfaces when you're under the influence, then please head to the show notes or directly to justdiamondcoaching.com/confidence to receive a free resource that contains my top 3 ways to walk into any room with confidence so you don't feel so reliant on alcohol to help you get there. But over the course of this episode, I'm going to walk you through the negative effects of alcohol, the purpose behind it, and uncover all the reasons as to why you feel so dependent on it, as well as why it's necessary to include in your life. Yep, you heard that right. And then throughout all of that, I'll share my sober curious journey. If you know me, then you know I'm personally not a fan of alcohol, and I do demonize it when it comes to being reckless. But I also know that your 20s are known for partying and getting drunk and living it up. So I'm very realistic with my clients when it comes to the topic of alcohol. I don't scold them for drinking, but it also comes as no surprise that almost every single person I've ever worked with has severely decreased their alcohol consumption and shifted their relationship to alcohol for the better. There comes a point of maturity and of honestly prioritizing your mental health where your relationship to alcohol does shift, so you can set yourself up for a lifetime of success and happiness. And that's what I'm here to talk to you about today. I'm going to start off with the positives of drinking, and that is in relation to your social health. I think when it comes to different healths, people forget that as humans, we crave a sense of community, and a lot of bonding and celebrations include alcohol, as well as from a cultural aspect. But in that respect, people aren't getting blacked out at a Shabbat dinner, okay? I personally will drink alcohol for a special occasion. It's pretty much why I don't say I'm sober, because I don't consider myself to be sober. Like, if someone makes or orders a really unique drink and offers me a sip, I'm going to try it. But otherwise, if I'm in the mood, and only if I'm in the mood, during a special occasion, such as a wedding, then I'll drink on my own accord. I personally think the mentality behind going sober is very restrictive because you're telling yourself you can't have any. And what can happen as a result is all of your mental power goes towards trying to prevent yourself from giving in to these temptations. And when you're surrounded by people consuming alcohol or at an event centered around it, your ability to stay disciplined is largely impacted. You feel more pressure to drink or self-conscious about not drinking that you give in to avoid these uncomfortable feelings. Now, if you're an alcoholic or allergic to alcohol or any other circumstance where you seriously cannot and should not have alcohol, then yes, please be sober. There is nothing wrong with doing that. I'm simply referring to those of you who want to strip yourself of all alcohol for personal reasons rather than for medical reasons, I guess you could say. Alcohol can actually be healthy for you to indulge in if you aren't part of the population who finds themselves drinking because it's a Friday or a Saturday, or you had a tough day, or you're sad, or you're stressed, or you're angry. It can help you feel relaxed. It can help you enjoy yourself with the people you care about, and it can enhance your relationships. Those are pretty much the only positives that alcohol has, specifically from that bonding standpoint, and I guess from an anxiety standpoint, because at the end of the day, most people abuse it. Most people turn to alcohol as a coping mechanism or because it's quote unquote the normal thing to do. But I'm here to tell you that just because something is considered normal does not mean it's good for you. And alcohol is one of those examples. It's literally poison. Every time you go out drinking or even stay in drinking, you are voluntarily putting this toxin into your body. And what happens as a result is your body freezes all other processes and prioritizes getting rid of it. So sleep gets disrupted. Digestion comes to a halt. Everything stops because your body is fighting its hardest to keep you alive, which means removing the unwanted toxins you willingly ingested. The loopy feeling, the high, the dizziness, the hangover, literally every side effect you're experiencing from the highs to the lows of drinking alcohol is the poison. It's toxic. Yet, our society has normalized it. I remember probably almost a year ago, I was at, it's called the Whitewater Center. It's like an outdoorsy place, but I was there with a bunch of people and a girl that I didn't know was talking about alcohol. And she was essentially saying, it's kind of like a poison. And I cut her off and I was like, no, it's literally poison. That is what it is. It is poison, which it was just funny that she's like, oh, it's kind of like it. And I was like, no, that is what it is. It's not kind of, it is. But anyways, I personally don't drink for a multitude of reasons. And the fact that it's poison, honestly, isn't one of them. Sort of. When I'm out and I meet someone new and they ask me why I don't drink, I respond with, I'm protecting all of my health. I don't give them a lecture on, I don't want to ingest poison and then have all the side effects. But what I mean is my financial, mental, emotional, nutritional, and physical health. Financially speaking, alcohol is expensive, and I don't know if you know this, but I'm self-employed, and I'm not going to spend my money on frivolous activities that aren't adding value to my life, or at least I don't feel are going to add value to my life. This is my personal opinion, because like I said, I don't feel like alcohol adds anything to my life. I honestly feel like it takes away from my life. For those of you who aren't self-employed, but feel like you never have enough money because you're drastically underpaid for today's economy, then I'm sorry to tell you this, but this also applies to you. I hear all the time that all of these 20-somethings are living paycheck to paycheck, when in reality, you're spending hundreds of dollars a month on your alcohol endeavors. When I graduated college, my starting salary was $35,000 before taxes, and I was able to save a couple hundred every month. This was also at a time when I was drinking just about every weekend. But my rule was every time I went out, I could buy myself one drink. And from that point on, I either was not drinking that night or someone else, say a boy I met along the way, would be buying my drinks. If you're a guy listening, that might be more difficult for you, but you can set a limit for yourself as to how much you're willing to spend in one weekend and hold yourself to that standard. I once had a male client who would say he could set a limit, but then in the moment, the night would get away from him and all of a sudden he spent upwards of $500 on himself and those around him. So we talked about getting a Visa card, like one of those prepaid cards, putting $150 on it and only using that for the night out. And what would happen was he was forced to pay more attention to how much money he was spending and also realized how easy it was to spend that kind of money. The result of implementing this simple little trick was 6 months after we were done with our coaching partnership, he was able to save enough money to put down money for his own condo. Because he would literally spend about $500 every Friday, Saturday, and potentially Sunday, and that adds up quick. Again, I'm not saying you should never drink or that alcohol is the devil, but I am saying be fucking for real right now. Don't complain about your finances when you're spending any extra money you could have on alcohol every single weekend. What you're really spending your dollars on is immediate gratification with no thought about the long-term consequences and not just about the financial consequences, as I'll get into. You reason that It's okay to spend a couple hundred dollars on one fun night out for the memories and forget that you can't even recall the fun night out because of all the alcohol. And then you wake up hungover and convince yourself it was worth it because the night was fun, even if you can't remember the fun parts. Like, those dollars could be allocated towards a trip or towards improving your life for the long term, like working with a coach. I know saving isn't very fun because saving means delaying your gratification, but you could save your money and invest it or be able to afford your own place like my client was able to. The bottom line is, alcohol destroys your financial health because your inhibition to stop or slow down is drastically reduced and you get too carried away time and time again, meaning you spend more money than you ever plan to on every single or almost every single night out. I'm not trying to tell you how to spend your money, but I do want to wake you up to a life that exists outside of the bar. Outside of your financial health and realizing where your extra money is actually going, alcohol severely damages your mental health too, as I'm sure you're well aware of. Now, I know what it's like to have a wild night out and send that risky text or let your real feelings take over where maybe you say some things that you didn't think through, so it came out all wrong. I also know what it's like when you're out and getting drunk and something bad happens where you're hysterically crying and can't get a grip on your emotions. Oh, or how about doing something really, really stupid, like try to convince a cop that your fake ID is really yours when you're 20 years old. And that's just an example because my mom and sister listen to the show and they know I would never be that stupid. But then the worst part with each of those scenarios is when you wake up the next day filled with regret and your sober self has to deal with your drunk actions. And now all of your mental energy is replaying the questionable and regretful decisions from the night before, only increasing your anxiety. So while alcohol might provide you with temporary relief from a stressful moment in your life or make an exciting moment even better, it really results in you feeling worse than before once the effects wear off. Because at the end of the day, alcohol is a depressant. It quite literally depresses your neural activity that helps you otherwise think clearly and make good judgment calls. It also exacerbates feelings, as I mentioned with my examples. I still cringe to this day over some of the things I did while very intoxicated in college. And that was when I was a kid with no real responsibilities. I can only imagine how actual adults in the post-college world feel after making a really dumb decision because they were under the influence. I used to be a partier. I went to an SEC school where that was a major part of the college experience, where by senior spring, we were at the bars 5 of the 7 nights in a week. Alcohol became a habit. Even though I wasn't blacking out, I was still putting this liquid into my system more nights than not. I mean, during my junior year, my friend Kylie and I would study at the library, and then when we were done, we would pull out her Magic 8-Ball app and ask if we should go to Salty's, which is a bar in Gainesville, and it would say the answer points to yes. So we would go get a beer with our backpacks directly from the library. My roommates and I would also take shots while studying, or shots if your exam went poorly. It became so constant and so normal that I didn't think anything was wrong with the role alcohol played in my life. Besides, I was still getting good grades, I was still waking up for classes, and it really didn't change much. It didn't have those negative side effects because my body was also a lot more resilient and I had a lot less responsibilities. I'm telling you this because I get it. Alcohol is fun, but it's your relationship to it that is detrimental to your quality of life, especially as you age. Now, I got out of drinking every weekend during the pandemic because everything was shut down and I didn't see a point in drinking in my apartment. And then when life continued to be stressful, I knew I wouldn't be helping my mental health if I continued to drink like I had in college. Fast forward to today, being self-employed and having my business be my image, there is no way I want to risk making some stupid drunk mistake that jeopardizes everything I've worked for. The third health alcohol ruins is your physical health, and this one is impacted in a couple of different ways. Aesthetically, your body is going to go downhill, and then from a habit standpoint, you're going to skip out on your workout and not eat well, because when you're hungover and your head is pounding and you're potentially throwing up, the last thing you're going to do is go to the gym or work out. You'll also be coming off of shit sleep, because alcohol disrupts your body's natural sleep cycle, as well as when you go out drinking, you're going to come home later and go to bed later and wake up later with worse sleep throughout that night. So while you're probably able to fall asleep faster since it promotes drowsiness, your normal cycles, mainly REM or rapid eye movement, gets fucked. We need that cycle to restore our brain and our body and recover and repair. Meaning, because you chose to go out and party like you were still in college, you're stressing your body out, not just from the poison you willingly put into it, but also because you're not going to sleep well and get the restful sleep your body demands. Like, think about it from an evolutionary standpoint. If we didn't need sleep, we would have found a way to get around it. Sleep puts us in our most vulnerable state and is filled with hours of not being productive. Yet, even with all of our technology, we still demand sleep. And if we go too long without it, we enter a state of psychosis. You could go longer without food and water than you could without sleep before suffering any consequences. And here you are, every weekend, putting yourself in this unnecessary state of stress through sleep deprivation. And for what? For an hour of fun that you actually remember? Is it worth it? Don't let me be the one to tell you if it is or isn't. I'm just here to put things into perspective. And that really comes down to knowing there is more to life than a night out every single Friday, Saturday, and Sunday fun day. We are not in college anymore. Our bodies can't handle this kind of treatment long term, and you're not getting any younger. I know I stress the importance of sleep in every episode, but it's because you're still not prioritizing it. From a nutritional standpoint, you're going to put yourself into a surplus every weekend because alcohol has calories, and you're out later, so you're going to be hungry during a time you would otherwise be asleep, and then the choices you make to satisfy your hunger are not going to be healthy either, because no one comes home from a night out and craves a carrot. So those late night Taco Bell runs, or when I was in college it was pizza by the slice, are not going to help your body. Not with the way it looks and not with the way it feels. Your love handles, your belly pooch, your consistent weight gain as you move through your 20s and beyond are only going to get worse if you don't clean up your relationship to alcohol. And as I mentioned briefly towards the beginning of this episode, your digestion comes to a halt, meaning your body is going to stop breaking down any and all foods for upwards of the following 24 hours to prioritize removing the alcohol from your system. So then what happens to the food you're eating? Well, if your body isn't able to break it down, that means it's not going to allocate the nutrients in the food you're consuming to its proper places and then use the rest for fuel. Instead, what's happening is your body is thinking, okay, well, we're dying because we have this poison in us, so this food will just have to be taken care of later. If we have time, let's leave it on the hips for now. And not to mention your organs are being damaged too. It's the things you can't see or feel, but get affected time and time again until it's too late. So if you're a chronic drinker, as in you consume at least 7 drinks in a 7-day span, not daily, but even if you have 3 drinks on Friday and 4 on Saturday, more weekends than not, you are considered a chronic drinker and your liver is being destroyed, which then impairs your body's natural metabolic capabilities, or in layman's terms, the way it processes everything that you consume. Your stomach issues, it's not because you're a hot girl. They're from your alcohol consumption due to that chronic inflammation to your digestive system from your drinking habits. Your immune system is suppressed, so your ability to fight off infections becomes more difficult, again, because your body is prioritizing this liquid above everything else. And probably to no surprise, your kidneys are being destroyed because that's your body's natural filtration system. And if you keep forcing your kidneys to filter out the alcohol, then you are slowly damaging them and you are increasing your likelihood of developing a kidney disease. Overall, moderate consumption may not cause significant harm, at least not right now in your 20s. But think long term and really think about your relationship to alcohol. You're literally making your life harder when you resort to your alcoholic tendencies because you don't want to face whatever problem is occurring right in that moment. And you're using it to self-soothe. Or you don't want to face your own awkwardness or insecurities. Really, the only positive non-coping mechanism use of alcohol is when it comes to religious practices or celebrations. And no, celebrating the end of the work week or a tough work day does not count as a cause for celebrating. So, how can we fix this? How can your relationship to your own brain and life and substances improve? Well, for one, you need to ask yourself why you're drinking when you have the urge to quench your thirst. Pair it with an emotion or a feeling. For example, are you nervous, stressed, overwhelmed, sad, excited, happy? Or pair it with an outcome you're after. Do you want to feel relaxed? Do you want to feel confident, courageous, happy again, or numb? That's a big one. We all love to numb out our current reality. Once you can identify why you're resorting to your friend, Mr. Alcohol, you can then start to substitute this coping mechanism with something else. So what can you do instead that will scratch the same itch? For instance, if you want to feel relaxed, can you take a bubble bath or do yoga or deep breathing? If you're sad and wanting to feel better, maybe you can go for a walk or have a meaningful conversation with a friend or let yourself cry or jump on your bed and be a kid again. If you had a tough day at work, the same things apply. It's up to you to figure out what's going to help you feel better that isn't alcohol related. In my coaching practice, we call this a nourishment menu. It's writing down all the things you can think of when you are feeling good and neutral in your life and have this list in your back pocket ready to go for when the going gets rough. Because it will. And when you're in that shitty state of mind, you're not going to want to think of things you can do that will soothe you in that moment outside of your normal habit of drinking alcohol. It's become your default, which is why you need to make your list now. It doesn't have to be long, but you're going to want to have a range of activities that make you feel good and are conducive towards your goals, or at least aren't pulling you away from your goals. So think around 7 to 10 different things, from playing your favorite song and dancing around, to meditating, to going for a run. I know I do that when I'm angry, but this is your list. It's for you to look back to the next time you want to drink alcohol instead of face your problems head on. Because at the end of the day, when used properly, alcohol isn't the devil. I personally don't like it and don't feel a need for it to be regularly included in my life. I also know a lot more people have started their own sober curious journey within the last year, year and a half, which I think is great. And I'm sorry to the bars, but I'm going to say it for a third time. There is more that exists in this world than a night out. And it's up to you if you want to venture out and explore what that looks like for you. And know that I'm here to help you figure that out too. Remember, you and I have the same goal. We both want you to like your life and all that it has to offer and not live a life of regrets. And alcohol robs you of a lot of that. It's time to learn about your interests and hobbies and what lights you up, and you'll start to understand that you don't need alcohol anymore and you don't want alcohol anymore. Choosing to go out and drink is making that sacrifice to all of your health. Know your priorities, goals, and reasons behind drinking, and you'll find yourself beginning to make better decisions that support the things that truly matter to you. And let me know what changes in your life as a result, because I can almost guarantee that your health factors improve, your relationships with other people will improve, your sense of self, your bank account, and the choices you make on a regular basis will all get better. But that's what I have for you on you versus alcohol. Like I said, it's not the devil if you have a healthy relationship to it. But hopefully by now you're feeling more inspired than ever to improve the way alcohol shows up in your life and not let it dictate how you show up in your life. If you liked what you heard, please, for the love of God, share it. Share it with your best friend, your grandma, your cousins. Post it on social media and tag me at coach.justdiamond when you do. And if you want me to help you on this journey so you don't become 80 and look back on your life and feel regret, the link to schedule a call with me is always in the show notes. But otherwise, this concludes another episode of How To 20-Something, and I can't wait to be in your headphones again next week with another brand new episode.